How you doing?
How you doing?
Should be a tick of him. Yeah,
I don't know who's version there. Oh, wow, that is big. It's old school. Well, let me start by saying what a great job our coaches and scouts did getting ready for next week. And those guys put a lot of time in, scouts during the fall going out looking at players, and I think we're in a good place right now. I don't think we're totally there as far as being ready for Thursday, but we're in a good place right now with our preparation. And with that, I'll open up for some questions.
Martin, have you already decided in-house who the number two pick is going to be?
No, we haven't.
When do you expect to make that determination?
Probably Thursday.
You'll be undecided.
I don't think it makes a lot of sense to decide before then.
You say you're not totally ready. Understanding that the number two pick is a part of that, what else has to happen or fall into place for you to become ready?
Well, one of the best things that we did last year, I think, was we spent a lot of time, Jim and I, watching film together, you know, and looking at guys and breaking ties and talking about our needs and that kind of thing. And that's an important part of the process. And, you know, we're just starting that part of the process probably today.
Do you also wait as long as possible in case somebody wants to trade for the number two pick?
That's also important. The trade is very important. But, you know, I mean, I'm the kind of guy, I like to keep my options open, you know. And you never know what could change. I remember last year, probably about a week before the draft, we got some information that we didn't have prior to that on a player that impacted, you know, our approach on our draft day, you know, and pushed that guy down in our view, you know, pushed the guy down in the way we viewed him. It affected the way that we viewed the player, put it that way. And anything can happen between now and then. So, you know, we don't have a need to make a decision now. We don't have to worry about something leaking out about what we decided because we haven't decided anything. So that's also one of the benefits of it.
Did the McNabb trade hurt your ability to trade down, do you think?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think it certainly affected any desire the Redskins may have had to trade up. For a quarterback, but I can't really speak to how it affected other teams' plans.
Are you more or less confident, either or, about getting a fair value off the number two pick than you were a few weeks ago?
Right now, if I had to guess what's going to happen, which I hate to do, I would lean toward us being at two and picking. We've had some conversations with teams about moving back. At this point, I would anticipate being at two.
9 injuries and excluded. Do you have players that you removed from the board, COVID?
Yeah, we do. Will we take highly rated players off the board completely?
Yeah, seriously.
Excluding injuries? I would. Yeah, we would.
Back to trades. What about this second round with having all that time before the second round starts? What do you think the probability is there? How much have you already set the groundwork? Possibly moving up the spot or moving back.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility of going back. You know, at the top of the second, top of the third, top of the fourth, those are the kinds of picks that teams want, especially the second day with the fourth round, the third day, the fourth round starting the third day could also be an opportunity to trade back. But you could also be in a situation like we were last year when you have a guy like Lewis Delmas who you really feel great about and you want to take that play.
Speaking of last year's draft, did the relative success you guys had with the draft make you more confident about the process that you're going through now that, you know, we do know what we're doing? We showed it last year.
You know, I think it's still early to put a grade on last year's draft, as I said before. But I feel better now at this point in the process than I did last year, you know, for a lot of reasons. You know, first and foremost, the Senior Bowl. Having the Senior Bowl was critically important to our preparation. You know, you allowed 60 guys in the combine for interviews. And, you know, this year we felt like you know, we were able to cover our bases at the Senior Bowl with a lot of guys early. Some guys we didn't need to talk to those guys again. We felt comfortable with those guys based on our experience at the Senior Bowl. So that helped us. And then you get 30 visits. And by the time we got to our 30 visits, we felt really comfortable with a lot of players that we'd seen them at the Senior Bowl, saw them at the combine. So I think we're a little bit ahead of where we were last year this time.
Have you met with Pac-Man yet, and where does that situation stand?
I have not met with him yet. It stands about where it stood before. You know, we had talks with him, and with his agent, rather, and we haven't made much progress in that direction now.
Do you expect him to meet the draft?
Pardon?
Do you expect to meet with him before the draft?
No, I don't.
Do you still have interest in him, and will a lot of it depend on how the draft falls?
You know what? I mean, we have interest in every player that can help us win, you know? So I'm not going to talk about each, because you could name five more guys and say he's interested in this guy, you know? But we want to find players that can help us win football games, and we're always looking for them everywhere we can find them.
Can you confirm that Lito Shepherd was here?
I did sit down and talk with Lito today. He was in the building.
Now, how much did what you accomplish so far in the offseason affect what you'll do in the draft? I mean, is it still, we'll take, you know, the most talented player on our board with every pick, or did what you were able to accomplish, is that kind of pushing more towards needs?
Well, no, I think you have to work hand-in-hand with free agency, with acquisitions in the draft. But when you go into the draft, my point on taking the best player available is you don't reach for something. So while we are aware of things that we need, we're not going to reach for something that we need if it means bypassing players who are more talented.
But is the strategy altered a little bit this year because you have a little bit more talent on the roster as opposed to last year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you talk about those early picks, and you want to give a guy the best opportunity to be successful. And so you want to take the best player you can take, and that's what our philosophy is.
Is there any misinformation out there? If so, how do you filter through that?
There's a lot of misinformation out there right now. You know, I worry about what we do. I worry about what our plan is. And the rest of those things that get out there about what the teams are planning on doing, you just never know if it's true or not, so I don't really worry about it.
Mark, would it be fair to say at number two, you're thinking of between a pool of four players, would that be accurate?
No.
That would not be accurate.
That would not be accurate.
What would be accurate?
And we're keeping our options open.
With the talent that's available at number two, I'm assuming that you stay at number two, is this a foolproof draft?
Ooh, that's that has to be the kiss of death, right? You say that it is. No, it's never foolproof. I would say that this year being at number two was a lot better than being at number two the year we drafted Charles Rogers. You know, just in terms of the number of concerns you have with different players. The players that are there now, a lot of them, and I've talked to a lot of people in the last week or so, head coaches and people who have been around these guys, a lot of these guys are solid, off-the-field character guys, you know, relatively healthy guys, high-effort guys, very motivated, intrinsically motivated type of guys. So there's a good pool to pick from at two this year.
Was there less effort to try to find that thing, find out those things when Rogers was drafted?
No. We knew the issues that a lot of those players had, whether it was health-wise or otherwise. But there were a lot more players with holes early in the draft that year than there are now.
Can you just talk about what you like best about Sue and what you like best about McCoy?
No. I like them both.
Does Mr. Ford have a particular player that he'd like to draft?
Does he have what?
A particular player that
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's never done that.
How interested are you in Albert Haynesworth?
I can't talk about a guy on somebody else's team, under contract with somebody else.
Do you have a certain number of blue chippers that you say in the draft? Say you had 10. If you did entertain trading back, do you want to come out with a blue chipper, or does that matter to the way the team is now? You just want to get players if you did happen to move back?
Yeah, I think anytime you talk about trading back, I think it's important to have a guy or a group of guys who you target when you go back. You don't want to just go back and pick up picks for the sake of picking up picks. You have to have an idea how far you'd like to go back and where it makes sense to not go farther than, you know. If we were to go back, there are limits on how far we would want to go back.
It seems like it's very important to you that nobody knows what you're doing at number two. Is that for strategic purposes more than anything, or is it to counter what has gone on here in the past?
No, I just think it makes sense, I mean, to not tell everybody in the world what you plan on doing. I mean, when other teams are making their plans, too. And I don't think you see a whole lot of teams standing up saying, hey, we're going to take player X at the fifth pick or whatever, you know. I think it makes sense in this environment and with the league being the way that it is to not say a whole lot about that.
Is it also, though, because of a possible trade?
Right. It could be any trade up, trade down, or any movement, or, you know, there are a lot of reasons for it. I don't know how it helps us to disclose everything that we plan on doing.
How much do you factor in the history of defensive tackles generally not going that and often not doing that well at that high of a pick?
I think you factor everything in, you know, but I also think that you have to, you know, believe your own eyes when you see something.
You said all offseason that you wanted to upgrade the running back position. Is that something you plan to do early in the draft?
I think we're going to look for an opportunity to upgrade that position, and we have throughout the offseason, and we talked to several people. I talked to agents for several players. We talked about trades. We talked about trading for some players. We talked now about the draft, and we'll see how we come out of this. But that's something that we're looking very closely at, and when the opportunity presents itself, we'll take advantage of it.
What about the cornerback position? Is that another position that you want to address as early as possible in the draft?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we're gonna take the best players that we can take in the draft, and we recognize what our needs are. But again, you know, we're not gonna try to make something happen.
No, I understand that, but do you think that cornerback is a position that needs to be upgraded on your roster?
I won't get into our specific needs. You know, I think unlike last year when we really could have upgraded just about anywhere. You know, I think, you know, you guys look at our roster. You guys have been around for a while, you know, but I'm not going to stand here and tell you what I think that we need.
Why didn't you make an offer cheap for Hargrove? What went into that decision?
A lot of things went into it, you know, but for where we are right now, we felt like the best thing to do was stay the course with the guys that we have. Yeah, the RFA process is a complex process. You spent a lot of time on it. He was obviously a guy who they really liked, who they really wanted. I think it reached a point in talking with his agent. You know, I had several conversations about Anthony. We sort of mutually agreed he would go back there.
Why do you think there won't be a whole lot of trade talk for the number two pick, you said, right? Is it because there isn't necessarily a quarterback there, since the quarterback is probably going to move? Why do you think it'll be sort of inactive?
I wouldn't say that there won't be trade talk.
No, but you said fairly, right now you think you can stay at number two.
I think the most important thing for us is if we decide to go back is that we get appropriate value for the pick. And that is the most important thing for us. If we go back, that we get what we feel is appropriate. And that's why I don't know that we're going to get that offer. We have had talks about the pick, but I don't know if we're going to get something that's going to be appealing enough to us to go back.
Was the Hargrove decision purely based on Hargrove, or did the draft factor in at all?
I think a lot of things went into it, you know. I mean, obviously the draft was coming, obviously. And, you know, there were a lot of factors involved in it. But, you know, I mean, it was sort of a thing where I talked with Phil. Well, we talked about it quite a bit. And, it was something that we decided not to pursue.
And Rob Sims, why was that a good deal for you? And how does that, obviously short term it affects things, but long term there's still things there. And how does that play into the draft?
Well, I think the world of Rob as a player, you know, saw a lot of him. Was glad that Rob was available to us. And, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out with Rob. You know, I mean, he could possibly be here for just this 1 year. He could possibly be here for a longer term than 1 year. But he was a good acquisition for us, I think. And I think that when you add a guy like Rob, you still have your options open draft-wise. We could still draft an offensive guard, or we could not, you know. But we don't have a gun to our head to have one. We feel we got a good starter, a good solid guy. Guy plays hard, good football character, a guy that our coaches like and that we all like. So we feel good about the acquisition, but we still have options there.
Do you plan to talk to him about an extension at any point, like before the season, or are you going to wait?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think I made a mistake before talking about players' contracts who are on our team right now. You know, talking about whether we extend them or reduce them or change and all that, and so I'm going to take that off the table now. So I don't want to talk about what we're going to do with Rob's contract, because that's not fair to Rob or fair to us or fair to his agent. But I'm glad you brought that up, though, so I can correct that.
Generally speaking, then, on money, are you concerned about your ability to sign whoever you drafted, number two, with all of the other commitments you've made financially in the offseason?
No, we have a budget we operate under. We can anticipate what that's going to cost to sign that guy, and we're prepared to sign somebody, too.
How much different is it this offseason is compared to last? Last year, you were new in the job, but more importantly, maybe you had a head coach who didn't know his players. You had two coordinators as well. This year, you guys have been one of the most active teams in the offseason. Just the difference is where you are now as to where you were a year ago.
I think this year, I think we're working together better. You know, and I think part of the reason for that is our scouts, from the college scouts to the pro scouts, having a better understanding of what we need offensively and defensively, what kind of players are attractive to us, as well as the coaches having a better grasp of the guys that we already have. So I think we've been able to be more aggressive because we have a better idea of what our needs are and what type of players that we're trying to attract here. So I think that we're kind of meshing and we're kind of gelling a little bit and coming together. And I think that's the reason why we've been able to be, I would say, productive. You know, it's been a productive offseason. I was talking to somebody the other day, said, "You guys had a good offseason." I said, "Well, your measure of the offseason is the season, you know. So you can't say it was a good offseason until you get to the season, you know. But it has been productive. You know, we've targeted some guys, and we've got the guys who we targeted. So we feel that it has been productive so far.
It certainly looks on paper like you have added guys that are going to start with you as well. So do you have a level of satisfaction with what you've been able to do so far?
I think I can't say you're satisfied in April, you know, but we have been productive. You know, we had certain goals that we set and things we wanted to achieve, and we were able to get those things done.
Do you feel like so far you've addressed your defensive issues as much as you would hope to?
We've got issues on both sides of the ball that are still unaddressed, you know. So I think we've made some moves. We're able to go. I think the trade for Corey Williams helped us. You know, the trade for Chris Houston helped us on defense. We didn't see those things coming, you know, but those things helped us. But we still have a lot of work to do on both sides of the ball.
Is there a part of you that maybe just wants to yell and scream out what the Lions are going to do and how excited you are about it, and how hard is that part of you to control?
Easy. I have no desire to do that, you know. I mean, I think that's part of the excitement of it, you know, really, is that, you know, we're going to be a better football team at the end of next week than we are right now. And I'm excited about that, you know. But that's part of the process, is how that all comes together.
Martin, you told us a couple weeks ago that what you're reading about your plans were premature and indicated they weren't right. Is that still the case?
What did I read? I don't remember.
Well, you told us back in the owners' meeting, you said that what you read isn't, or what's being written isn't really accurate in terms of what you guys are planning with the number two pick. Is that accurate?
Oh, okay. Thank you. I would say, yeah. Because like I said to you, we haven't decided. I haven't decided. So we haven't made a decision about what we're going to do with that pick. So really anything that's written is premature.
If you haven't decided now, how are you confident that you'll be decided by Thursday night? What if you're still undecided?
We don't have any choice but to be decided by Thursday night. We don't have to decide anything right now, you know?
How tightly are your grades there at the top?
Very tight. I mean, it's as tight as I've ever seen it.
Amongst the group of players?
Like I said before, we feel we were in the draft meetings and we were just talking about, you know, the board, and we said this is a good year to have a number two pick. And so that's not always the case. It's not always that situation. This is a really good year to have a number two pick.
But Jim was saying with Stafford last year that there was extraordinary consensus from, you know, from every level of the organization that Stafford was the pick. Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say that it will be more difficult to have that consensus if you're at the top?
I don't know. Yeah, I think I would agree with what Jim said about Matthew, but that was also a process that built. It was a building process throughout, you know, from January to April. In this situation here, I think, you know, we still have time to get to that point. We're not at that point right now, I don't think.
But you're not going to adjust your grades, right? I mean, you've got your board up and your grades are done. You just have to decide which one of those guys you can pick. I mean, when you watch film and everything over the next few days, you're not going to change your great.
Well, I mean, when we watched film last year, there were some things that changed. You know, when Jim and I watched film together, some things changed in our viewpoints of how we saw players. Sometimes there's, you know, give and take on both sides. So there's a lot that can happen between now and then.
But basically, it comes down to you and Jim. I think you said that you and Jim watched film a lot together right before the draft. I mean, is it just the two of you in a room watching film? It really comes down to your...
Right.
Two.
Right. And you know, as far as the process, you know, I can't say enough about the job that our college scouts did preparing. And Scott McEwen does a great job setting our board. And he did a great job last year and the year before that and the year before that. He's great at what he does. But at the end of the day, Jim and I sit down, and it's just us. And Jim and I make a decision.
Martin, you said last year that you were changing some things in the whole scouting process. In other words, that we didn't have the flow of information. Have you fine-tuned that this year, too? Is there anything that you've done a little different that's maybe enhanced what you already thought was a good plan?
Yeah, you know, we're kind of following the script from last year a little bit, you know. We haven't changed a whole lot from what we did last year. So it's very, the process has been very similar to what it was.
A couple more questions.
Because there was no cap this year, do you foresee proven players traded on draft night? You know, that usually doesn't happen because of contracts and caps. You can't take it out, but... Because no cap this year, do you see like actual during picks there might be veteran players traded for picks during the draft?
I think they could. Yeah, I think they could. We had a situation last year where we had a team calling about a player, and they called throughout the entire, you know, they want the 2, and then they want the 4, and then they want the 5, and it kept going down, you know, the whole time. But I think you'll see some trades. I think you've seen more trades this offseason because there is no cap. And I think the draft last year was a situation where there were players available during that draft. And I think you'll see the same thing and probably a little bit more this year.
That player
did trade.
No.
Last question. How
many hours of film have you watched of Sue McCoy?
Games. I haven't seen every game that they play, but I've seen almost all their games, you know, almost all both of their games. And we've done a lot of different cut-ups of those guys, too, different situations that those guys are in. So, yeah, we've seen quite a bit of tape of them.
When you watch tape, do you watch it, like, from, you don't look at it chronologically, do you, or you just watch cut-ups, like, third downs and run plays? How do you watch it?
You say chronologically, you mean from the first game of the season?
Yeah, I'm talking about from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. Do you watch it like that?
Yeah, usually I'll watch a game. And usually it'll start off a guy like one of those guys. You would want to see him against a good opponent, you know. So that's why you end up skipping around and picking different games. Or somebody may say, hey, you see the Missouri game. You got to watch that one. And then, you go watch that one. So, you know, you end up watching different games. And usually I'll watch a game, you know, start to finish.
Have you signed all your restrictions?
That's a good question. I don't think they've all signed. I think there are a few guys that haven't signed yet.
Today's the last day.
Today, let me, for offer sheets, today's the last day. Those guys can still sign, and we can actually change the tender also. So, but yeah, no, we haven't.
Yeah. Martin, since you weren't sworn in before you stepped up there, if you actually did know who you were picking, would you feel any need to tell us?
If I say it again?
Well, since this time of year, nobody's telling anybody the truth anyway, and understandably so, for good reason. And you weren't sworn in when you stepped up there. Yeah. You didn't know who you were picking right now. Would you have a reason to tell anybody?
I don't think I would, you know, but you guys, and we haven't been around each other a whole lot, but you guys know, I think, I like to keep my options open. Because you never know what's going to happen, you know?
Is that true within the building, too? I mean, is it really... I mean, seriously, I mean, it's Jim and, at the end of the day, it's probably Jim and you in that room. And do you keep it quiet from even people within your structure just to make sure they're not leaking?
Yeah, I think there'll come a time, obviously, when, you know, you have to declare, you know. But that time hasn't come yet. And so I haven't made a decision yet, and there's a lot that can happen between now and then.
Well, you must be leaning one way, though, aren't you?
And that's something I definitely wouldn't tell you.
This is just about the quarterback thing. You were through this whole process with Barrington and all this others. What impact has it had on the draft and the franchise that you have your quarterback and you're not still searching for that guy? How much of a relief or take a burden away just having your guy now?
Yeah, well, it means a lot. I mean, just as far as, you know, where we are as a franchise and how we feel going forward offensively, what you can do offensively when you have a good quarterback, and you know, we got you feel is going to be a good quarterback. You know, we talk about some of these players in the draft, whether it's a receiver or a back or a tight end. And Scott is excited about the things that we can get done, things that we can accomplish, because there's so many different ways you can go with your offensive football team. And what Matthew does is gives us more options. Everybody's excited about seeing him play in his second year. So, I mean, it brings an excitement, I think, to the franchise. I mean, the players see what kind of player Matthew is. And even, you know, the other guys that we drafted, Pettigrew, Delmas, DeAndre Levy. I mean, veterans who have been here are excited about those guys. Those guys are excited about playing their second year. So, you know, adding good young talent at any position, I think, gives you energy as a franchise. And so we feel good about that.
Can you just confirm that the team recommended to Casey that he retire and what that process was like?
Yeah, I can't comment on that. But we're going to miss Casey. I mean, he was a great addition to our team. He's an undrafted free agent guy we got. I forget the small signing bonus. I forget what it was. But he was just a guy we just got him through in camp. And from day one, you can see he had a chance to make our team. And we're going to miss him. He was a great asset to the organization.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thank you.